First Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 20. Amen. Good to have those that are here for the first time. Thank you for visiting. Those who are here for the second or third time, thank you for returning. Amen. And for those that belong to the household of faith, can we give the Lord a shout? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, we need some fire in this place. No dead church. I said, can we give the Lord a hallelujah? Amen. That's right. All right. First Peter 1, 18 to 20. Hallelujah. And I think I'll end up down there in a little while. So don't get too comfortable. All right. It says, knowing. What's the first word?
Knowing.
What do you know tonight? Somebody shout to me what you know.
I am washed.
I am washed. What else you know? Jesus is alive. What else? Right, I see a lot of mouth moving, but I don't understand what you're saying. I've been bought with a price. What else? Right, all of those things you said. Amen. You know something? Amen. Who knows something? I said, who knows something? Come on, if you know, you gotta act like you know something tonight. We got to know that we know that we know. So now we know, right? It says knowing, because first you didn't know, but now you know. Anybody knows that little channel on Facebook that's called Now You Know? Oh, my God. You know it, right, Tim? We for real out here, Tim. We're the only ones not really saved. And Sister Karen is about to join us. Right, but the guy does this interview, and at the end he says, if you didn't know, now you know. Oh, you know it too? Pray for Sister Jacqueline. Now you know. But before we didn't know, but now we know. And some of your now was 20 years. Some of you knew 30 years. Some of you know 2 months. Some of you probably know a week ago that Jesus died for you. Somebody, Lord, maybe yesterday they give their heart to the Lord. But it doesn't change the fact. The fact is that you know. Amen. Knowing that you are not redeemed with what? Corruptible things. Like silver.
And gold.
Silver and gold. My God, we love the silver. We love the gold. But that couldn't buy our salvation. From your aimless conduct. Oh my God. We weren't going anywhere. We weren't going anywhere. Received by what? Tradition. Oh, from your fathers. You know, tradition can hold you in chains. Yeah? You know, like with cooking, for instance. Many of the traditions we hold on to, like when we were growing up in Guyana, there was no blender. There was no blender. If you had a blender, you were rich. Right? If you had, thank you. Yeah. Some of us, you know, we come from the good part of town, but the rest of us, we came from not so good part. So if you had a blender, if you had a fridge, you were elite. Anybody know about going to your neighbor's fridge to put stuff in? All right, praise the Lord. Good. We got 3 people. But thank God everybody else came from the good side of town. But yeah, but a lot of the traditions we hold on to with cooking is because our parents did not have machinery. So like dicing, not everything needs to be diced. It can be blended. But because your mom did it or your grandmother did it this way, you still do it that way. When there is a food processor today. But you think that if you do it that way, the food tastes better. Not true. So what it says here is by the traditions from your fathers. That was aimless conduct. But let's go to 19. But with the what? So we'll go back and we'll read you back. Let's go back and go to 18 again. Knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like what? Silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers. But this is what we're redeemed by. rebought with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. As of a lamb. A what? A what? A lamb without blemish and without spot. Why do you think we can sing "We're Glorious, Church"? Without what? Without what? Oh, remember we just sang that song? We're a glorious church without what? Spot or wrinkle. Did Jesus have spot? So because we are washed with his blood, we become spotless. Give the Lord praise. Oh, that's a weak gratitude right there. That's just weak. That's just weak. That's frail and weak. That's like a 10 p.m. praise. You want to go to bed? I know you guys. You've been working all day. And here is Pastor Sam getting ready to preach at 10 when we should be going home. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm going to keep you awake. I'm coming down there. Don't worry. I'm coming close to you. If you sleep, I'm going to touch you. But what were we washed with? The precious blood. Now, verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was what? Manifest. In which days? In these last time. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor and the thanks that this word speak to us tonight. Transform our hearts and our mind. Oh, Holy Ghost, set a fire in our soul. Let the anointing break every yoke, break every chain, dismantle every plot, plan, scheme of the adversary, and let the glory of God rise in us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It says here, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a what? Lamb without blemish and without spot. Tonight I want to talk to you about the lamb that stands. The lamb that stands. No, not a lamb that is standing on its feet. But when I say the lamb that stands, I'm speaking of permanence. Permanent. It was a permanent sacrifice. Permanence means the state or quality of lasting or remaining unchanged indefinitely. I'll say it again. Permanent speak of the state or quality of lasting or remaining how? Unchanged indefinitely. Meaning Jesus as the spotless Lamb of God, the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary will remain. It will remain potent to save forever. It will remain powerful to transform forever. If it is 10 years from now, it's going to still save. It saved about 2,000 years ago, and the blood is still saving today. The blood will never lose its power. So tonight, I'm talking about the lamb that will stand. And I want to pull the parallel from the Passover lamb. Because if you know anything, Jesus was our Passover lamb. When Jesus was crucified, the Jewish people had come to... You can lower my mic a little, guys. We're getting too much boop, boop, boop. Right? I want to get rid of that. Edit that part out. Okay. When Jesus was crucified, it was the feast of the Passover. It was the time when they would celebrate the deliverance of God. And they would celebrate the victory of God. Now, what is the Passover? The Passover means just how it sounds. Something passed over. There's not much of a deep explanation. Passover means what? It's not going under or going around. It passed over. Simple, right? So, but there is a significance to the Passover. And the Passover comes way back from the book of Exodus when they were delivered from Egypt and they came out of bondage. Amen? My God. And you know the beautiful thing about God is when God promised to deliver, he comes true. When God promised he would deliver, he always comes true. And the Passover goes back, way back to the book of Genesis. Even before they got their feast of the Passover. Jesus, God the Father in the garden had a conversation with the devil. And he said, devil, you crossed the woman here and you got her to cross me. But there will come a time when there will be a Passover. When I'm going to send my son as the Passover lamb and he will defeat your powers. Let's go to the word. Hallelujah. My God. In Genesis 3:15, and I want to amplify. After they had eaten the fruit, they had eaten the fruit in the garden and they disobeyed God. Sin got free reign. God saw man in a state of helplessness. God saw man now succumb to the devil, to sin, and to death. And God said something. He said, hey, devil, don't worry. Because the Bible says Jesus was promised before the foundation of the world. We just read it, right? Isn't that true? He said he was promised before the foundation of the world, but was when? Manifest when? In these last days. And the last days started about 2,000 years ago. It is this period that we are living in. But Jesus said something. God the Father said, he said, I will put enmity. I will put open hostility. I will put enmity between you and who? The woman. And between you, your offspring, your seed, and her seed. Let's go to the next verse. The next part. He shall fatally bruise your head. And you shall how? Now, the word that is used is bruise each time. But the first Hebrew word that is used actually for bruise means to fatally. He will destroy your works. He will put a blow that will cause you to lose your grip on man. And he will destroy what it is you have done to humanity. But it's only time before it is manifested. He said you're going to bruise him, but you're not going to hit a fatal bruise to him. It's only going to be for a little time. It's only going to be for a season. And we know according to scripture that season was only for 3 days. Amen? But what Jesus God said, he said, I'm going to destroy your devil. I'm going to put open shame on you. And this here is known as the first gospel. This was the first gospel that was preached, where God preached the gospel of deliverance from sin back in the garden. Amen? So, hallelujah. So this was the Passover that we were waiting on. But in the meantime, there were foreshadowings. Somebody say foreshadowings. There were foreshadowings of glorious things yet to come. Hallelujah. So, let's go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Now I'm going to talk quickly to you concerning what was going on. They were in Egypt. They were held hostage by Pharaoh. They were serving Pharaoh. They were slaves in Egypt. Now, how did they get to Egypt? When they got to Egypt, they got there through Joseph. Right? Joseph, there was a famine in Israel, they went to Egypt to buy grain. When they went to buy grain, Jacob sent his sons to buy grain. When they got there, they found their brother who they sold as a slave. Now he is ruler actually in Egypt. He is second in command. So they went there, they built house, they settled, they got Goshen. But then that generation died off. Joseph died, the brothers died. And then another Pharaoh was brought into power who did not know Joseph. So then that Pharaoh said, you know what? These people are becoming very strong among us. They're becoming very powerful. Let us cut their wings. Let's slow them down. But let me show you another promise. And when God makes his promise, he will come true. Now, before Joseph died, Joseph said to them in Genesis 50 verse 25, he said, then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will what? Surely visit you and bring you up from this land to the land he has promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel take an oath and said, God will surely attend to you, and then you shall carry my bones up from this place. What that was a promise. It was an oath from God. But when Joseph spoke it to the generation, he gave them a Passover to look forward to. Just like God said to them back in the garden, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman sea devil. He's going to crush you and he's going to defeat you. What they were now doing, they were looking forward for deliverance. Whenever you get the word, whenever you get a word from God, you are to hold on to it and have an anticipation of deliverance. Have an anticipation of breakthrough. Have an anticipation that the God that spoke, he does not lie. He's not a man. And he is true to his word, because he didn't swear on my name. He swear on his own name. So he said, if God made a promise to our fathers, he is more than able to do it. Amen? Now, God raised up Moses. He sent Moses back to deliver the people. I'm going fast now. I'm painting a quick picture. When Moses got to Pharaoh, he said, let my people go that they might become and worship me. Pharaoh's like, oh no, ain't nobody leaving here. You're not taking my workforce from me. It's just like in the time of slavery about 200 years ago, when the people began revolting, the imperialists and the colonials said, we're not going to let these people go. We're going to fight tooth and nail to keep them in slavery. Why? Because they were benefiting from them. Amen? So Pharaoh was, God caused his heart to become hard so that he may display his power. That when the people leave the land, even Pharaoh will testify that there is a God that deals in the affairs of man. And they would have no reason to not know that there is a God. When God puts in his display, listen to me, people think they can mess with you and do you what they want to do. But David said, in, oh my God, I think it's Psalm 15. He said, God, show me your loving kindness, not by, oh, dealing kindly with the people against me. He said, raise your right hand against them. Hey, the man says, show your love to me, your loving kindness, by raising your right hand. And the right hand of God is the hand that fights for us. It's the hand of authority. It's the hand that steps in and defends the righteous. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The God that we serve is a God of love to those who fear him. But he's a God of wrath and of vengeance to those that hate him. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. God hates injustice. God hates injustice. So he has a way of dealing with people that deals unjustly with his people. And you don't have to worry when it's going to come. Because Pharaoh thought he had it figured out. He thought that he could hold on to the people. But somebody said there's a Passover coming. There is a Passover that is coming. So God said to Moses, he said, Moses, you're not going to see Pharaoh's face anymore. Because what I'm about to do, I'm going to kill every firstborn in Egypt. Every firstborn this night is going to die. But I want to draw a line between my people and the people of Egypt. I want to draw a line between those that believe on me and as receive me as their Lord and as their protection and as their anchor. You see, that's why I wore this tie tonight, because this tie has the sign of an anchor on it. I want to ask you tonight, who is your anchor? Where is your anchor? Are you anchored on Christ, or are you anchored on corruptible things like silver and gold, or like money, or like your job, or like the finances you have, or the friends around you, or the family you have? Pharaoh was anchored in his power. He was anchored in his authority. He was anchored in the great Egypt that he had built. Egypt was no joke. You see, the pyramids, they're still trying to figure how they built the pyramids. They're still trying to figure it out. And I believe a day is coming that will humble a lot of people when they figure, because they did some scans and they saw that beneath the pyramids are actually some cities. When they uncover those cities, man, that thing that they got modern marvels, they're going to be wowed to know the genius that man has, God has given to man way back. The mind has not changed. It has been great from day one. Because we're all made in the image and in the likeness of God. If he could have put this world into being, imagine what he has put within you and me. Stop taking yourself as ordinary and see yourself as great. See yourself as extraordinary. He says that you're fearful and you're wonderfully made. Amen. So when Jesus came as a Passover lamb, he didn't come to die for animals, but he came to die for those that were created in his image and his likeness. And the enemy showed up and he said, I'm going to mar the image. I'm going to mess up the image with sin. I'm going to mess up the image with shame. I'm going to mess up the image with death. But the promise was made, and promises made, and God holds on to his promise. So when it was time for the showdown, it came to the last point. Now we're over in Exodus 11 and Exodus 12. You can go home and you can read it. He said to Moses, he said, Moses, go tell the children of Israel, let every family get themselves a lamb. Let them get a lamb. But this lamb has to be a special lamb. This cannot be any and any lamb. This lamb has to be a lamb. Read Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It shall be a male of the first year. Listen, the first things belong to God. I said the first things belong to God. Every first thing belongs to God. You may take from the sheep or from the goat. Now you shall keep it until the 14 days. And look what you're going to do. Now let me talk to you. Why must it be spotless? Why must it be without blemish? Because blemish represents sin. Blemish signifies impurity. And God is a holy God. He is upright. He is perfect. So God wants as perfect as it can be. Did you hear what I just said? He wants it as perfect as it can be. So he said over in Leviticus, he said to them in chapter 22, verse 22, he said, those that are blind or broken or maimed, or have an ulcer, or eczema, or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar. Why? Because sickness is also a result of sin. So if you give him a sick lamb, it could not work to protect you from the death angel. So it had to have been what? Perfect, without blemish, or spotless. Are we clear? Hallelujah. So sin brings sickness and disease And eventually, it leads to death. Now, what were they to do with the lamb? Now, it said they shall take some of the blood in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7 over next to us. They shall take some of the blood and put it where? On the doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they're going to eat. So now, let's say this is the door. We're working with this here. Got it? So they're to take hyssop branch after they kill the animal, dip it, and go like this. Over here on the right. On the left. And at the top, on the lintel. Now, when the dead angel passed through, and the Bible says about midnight, back in chapter 11, verse 4, then Moses said, thus says the Lord. Then Moses said, thus said the Lord, about midnight, I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sit on the throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is in the behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of even the animals. Then there shall be a what? Great cry. What kind of cry? Throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before and shall not be like it again. And look at this. Look, here's the promise of the blood. But against none. Somebody say none. Somebody say none. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue. He said, I'm going to shut down every adversary, from the least, which is the dog, to the greatest. They will not be able to move their tongue. They can't even talk against you. Because you're going to be behind the blood. Oh. You're going to be behind the blood because the dead angels are going to move to and come to the door. And if it does not find blood, it's coming in and it's going to wipe out every firstborn. So, he told him now, put the blood, bob up. Now, if we should do a drawing, do a nice drawing, and we go from this point to this point, we go across, and then we go from here to dung. We get a cross and we see Jesus coming and paying the price on the cross. Once you're behind the cross, you are saved. Now, so only a lamb without blood, without blemish, could have sufficed to push back the powers of death. How much more now? Let's go to the New Testament. John chapter 1 verse 29. The Bible says when John was baptizing in the Jordan, he looked up and he said the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. Oh God, they came. Oh Jesus. They had a lamb that was spotless to the eye. But here came the lamb who was perfect, true and true. Perfect because it came from God. And the Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes from God, who is the Father of lights, and there is no shaking in shadow. There's no casting of shadows. He is the one that is perfect. And why did he show up? The Bible said, for this reason was the Son of God manifest. He was promised in Genesis, but he was manifest in these last days that he might destroy the powers of the devil. He might destroy the works of the enemy, and he may deliver a people, and he may bring us into life and life more abundantly. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he give his only begotten son, that whosoever, I'm a whosoever, you're a whosoever, you're a whosoever. It doesn't matter where you come from, rich or poor, tall or short, brown or white, you're a whosoever. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because he is the Lamb that stands. He's a lamb that is permanent. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, the purpose of that lamb was to preserve them from death. The same way, once you and I get saved, we are preserved by the blood of Jesus. We are in Christ. We become new. All things are passed away. All things become new. The children of Israel was hiding behind the blood of a sheep, a physical lamb. But tonight you and I are hiding behind the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Not just the sin of a tribe, the sin of a city, the sin of a nation, but the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Somebody thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. The blood is still preserving. The blood is still preserving. The blood is still keeping us. The blood is still covering us. The blood is still sanctifying us. According to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 13, the blood is still sanctifying. The blood is still purifying our flesh. So when God looks at you, when you come to the blood, you're pure. So you run, you went from Colossians 1:13, read that. Colossians 2:15 speaks about victory. Ephesians 5:8, read that. You move from being a sinner. As Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. Romans 5:8 or 18, it says, all through one man's sin came, all have sinned. But when you come through the blood, you become sanctified. You get a washing that Clorox can't give you. You get a washing that, oh my God, Tide can't give you. You get a washing, no matter how many times you go into the beach and come out, it can't wash you like that. You get a washing that is true and true. And when you come out spotless. And you know, in this washing, God doesn't even remember your sin. I said, God don't remember your sin. No, I'll say it again. You might remember your sin, but God don't remember sin. He said, I take your sin and I put it in the sea of forgetfulness. That means there's no remembrance of sin and transgression because he forgot about it. So the blood preserved the children of Israel. The next thing that the blood did was prepare them for deliverance. The blood prepared them for deliverance. How, Pastor? Moses said to them, he said, after you put that blood on the doorpost, when you sit down to eat the Passover, now, they were celebrating something that didn't even happen. They were celebrating a word they got from God. I want to ask you a question. When you get a word from God or you see a promise in the scripture and it jumps out to you, how do you behave? Do you sit down and get lackadaisical and you say, God, maybe I'm not sure if this is for me, or the prophet releases a word to you, or you come to the altar and I deliver a word to you, you go and you act like nothing happened? They got a promise of deliverance. Moses said to them, because you know they know who they were dealing with. We have to learn to understand who we're dealing with. You're not dealing with men. Hello? I say you're not dealing with man. This is the word of God. This is the house of God. This is the promises of God. And they are yes and they are amen. What God said, he's fully able to bring it to pass. It doesn't matter how big, how outlandish it looks. Moses said to them, he said, hey, in chapter 11, go to all the people. Let's go. Let's read it. Come on. Let's read it. Chapter 2. Chapter 11. Exodus 11, 2. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor. What he must do? Ask his neighbor. Go tell him what you want. If you want some gold, tell him you want some gold. If you want some silver, tell him you want some silver. If you want a new pair of shoes, go tell him you want a new pair of shoes. If you need a new dress, tell him you want a new dress. If you need a cap to cover your head, get a cap. If you need a stroller to push your baby, get their stroller. Whatever you need, go and ask them. Every man ask his neighbor. Every woman from her neighbor. What is it? Articles of silver and articles of gold. But you see how it ties back here? We didn't get saved by gold. Nor did we get saved by silver. But he says, you already got the blood. Hello? 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 You already got the blood. Now go and get the goods. Because when you come through the blood, you are well provided for. That means that you can get the gold, you can get the silver. Because the gold and the silver wouldn't have you. You have it. And you're not serving it, but you're serving Jesus. You're serving the King of Kings, and you're serving the Lord of Lords. You got to be blessed. Stop settling for less. Take your promise. Take your blessing. Every day you wake up, you make your declaration. I am blessed and I'm highly favored. I am the head and I'm, oh, you're not seeing it come to pass? It's the louder you must say it. I am above and you feel like you're sinking. Say, devil, no matter what sinking sand you bring my way, the word says on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Every other ground is sinking sand. So I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to stand on the promises. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. God has given me the power to get wealth. I came through the blood. I said you came through the blood. So when you come through the blood, get your gold. Get your silver. Get your blessings. Get your overflow. Because another secret, he said, he came poor that we might become rich. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus became poor, mama, so that you can become rich. That he can change your story and he can take away your reproach. When everybody looked at you like a nobody, God showed up and he blessed you out of no way. Yes. Somebody say yes. I said somebody say yes. He became poor that we might become rich. He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He was our substitution because he was good enough. The Lamb still stands. So he said to them, talk to the neighbor. Talk to the neighbor, because you see Pharaoh, he don't understand who he is dealing with. He think he's not going to let you go. But the blood is a sign of deliverance. after I squeeze him tonight, when the death angel pass through and the death angel do what he has to do, they're going to let go. You see, sometimes man feel like they're so strong and they don't need God. And they don't. Not only they don't need God, they don't even have to answer to God. They don't even have to fear God. There's some people who are very blessed, but they at least acknowledge God. But then there are those that are so blessed. Like I saw an interview with a man last night, and he said he thinks he's going to live about 300-400 years, maybe even 1,000 years. He said his birthday comes every 2 years because he's 42 years old, but he is actually aging like an 18-year-old because of all the technology. But who knows that this breath is controlled by God? The Bible said life is like a vapor. It's like the grass flourishes today, withers tomorrow. Oh my God, I hope he live long to realize that Jesus is Lord and not go to a lost eternity, because there'll be a rude awakening. You know why? He sold his company for $800 million. So he's set. He's set. He can't finish that money unless he's a fool. The man, he was the man that created Venmo. You guys use Venmo, right? Nobody don't know what Venmo is? Like Zelle, can I Venmo you some money? Yeah, that's that man. He created Venmo and he sold it for $800 million. And he feels like he's going to live forever. But my God, I hope he lives to realize that Jesus is Lord. So, he said to them, get the gold, ask them. Because when the death angel moves through, when the death angel moves through and destruction takes place, they're not going to be able to deal with it. Go to 29. And it came to pass at midnight, chapter 12, verse 29, that the Lord struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captives who were in the dungeon, all of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants in Egypt. And what was there? A great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. But what? In the household of the Israelites, the blood was on the posts, and they were preserved. Not only were they preserved, but they were getting ready to strip Egypt in one night. Because they collected the gold, they collected the silver, and now Pharaoh is about to say, Moses, you and your people get out. Get out. The same man that wouldn't let them go, because the blood prevailed, it was getting ready to let them go. I want to tell you, when you met Jesus and you got saved, it was a moment of deliverance. It was a moment of victory. All of a sudden, the devil lost his hold on you. And all the chains that bind you, you broke out of them. And you shout, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. You know what deliverance was. You know what liberty was. You know what it means to live. You were living, but you were suffering. But the blood showed up and rescued you. Somebody stand and give God praise for the deliverance, for the victory, for God making a way when we were lost and undone. Without God and his son, he reached down and he delivered us. And he set me free. The blood is a sign of deliverance. When we talk to demons and they don't want to go, we say, devil, the blood of Jesus is against you. Devil, the blood of Jesus is against you. Tonight, any demonic operation in this room, the blood of Jesus is against you. I speak deliverance. I speak breakthrough. I speak victory, because the blood prevails. The Lamb still stands. in Jesus' name. Give God praise. Give God praise. Give God praise. Uraba sara raba sore bakatara. Katara raba kasanda raba baba baba shota. Raba baba baba kasia. Raba koshala raba katata tata baka. Raba ndorobo siala raba kataya. Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you for liberating us from sin. Thank you for liberating us from the curse. Thank you for liberating us from the wrath of God. Thank you, Lord God. The Egyptians felt the wrath, but those who were behind the blood, from favor. Thank God for favor right now. Thank God for favor to show up in your life. Thank God for favor to locate you because you're behind the blood. You come through the blood. You've been washed. You've been liberated. You've been delivered. You've been set free. And now you've been promoted because of the blood. So, when you get into the blood, the next after deliverance is promotion. Because they went from being slaves and now they were a people. Now they were a nation. Now they were moving as the army of God in the earth. They were once slaves. Now they were liberated. And now they were going to possess what was promised in Genesis 50. When Joseph said, God will take you out of this place. They were receiving their promotion. And they did not leave Egypt empty-handed. They had the gold. They had the silver. And Egypt thought that they worked them and worked them and worked them. But when they stepped out, they were ready. When it was time to build a tabernacle, they had everything that they need. They had all the gold that they need. Moses had to say to them, boys, stop bringing offering. You're bringing too much offering now. Hold it back. I want to tell somebody tonight, the enemy has been running rampant over you. But I'm telling you, payday is coming. I said, payday is coming. I said, payday is coming. You're going to have trouble for all your troubles because you're in the blood. You're in the blood. And promotion is yours in Jesus' name. Stay standing. I'll read this over you. Hebrews 9, 11. Let's put this up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 9, 11. Somebody shout promotion, promotion, promotion. Shout promotion, promotion, promotion. Use your mouth, use your mouth. Shout promotion. Promotion doesn't come from the east, nor from the west, but it comes from God Almighty. Riba baba balo roko salala bakataya. Reba kasala la bakasaya, ramanda la bashia la bakosala la bakataya, kedo do 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 bo sore bo kosala la bakataya. Hey, bakamaya kamaya kemaya makataya makataya. Rebe bobo ya ba ya. Rusala la bakatia le mashia na la ba. Establish some things tonight. Establish some things tonight. Establish some things tonight. Establish some things in your life. Establish some things in your future. Use your word. It say you shall eat the fruits of your lip. Talk, 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 talk. Talk what you want to see happen. And believe God to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 Stop.
establish. Come on, this is a moment of establishing. Establish some things. Use your mouth. The prosperity you want to see in your life, don't get calm. Say, I want a new house. I want a new car. I want the gold. I want the silver. I want an apartment building. I want to build a house of God. I want to be a financier for God's house. I want to be somebody that push God's word forward. Establish. Promise time. You're in the blood. You're in the blood. You're in the blood. The blood stands. The promise stands. 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 The blood stands. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violence take it by force. God is looking for some forceful people that understand who they are, understand who you are, and don't take the devil abuse. Don't take Satan riding you. Refuse it tonight. Say, I'm in the blood. Not a dog can lift its tongue against me because I'm in the blood. Not a dog can lift its tongue and speak against me. I'm in the blood. I hear houses you didn't build. I hear vineyards you didn't plant. Jobs you didn't study for, God will favor you. What you're not qualified for, He gonna make it happen for you. Receive your portion. I'm taking my portion tonight. I'm not leaving here without my portion. My portion is my portion. Get your portion. You're in the blood. Get your portion. Stand in the gap. Expect victory. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The fathers obtained a good report by faith. When you're in the blood, you can walk by faith. You can declare by faith. And you can possess by faith. The blood prevails. The blood prevails. The Lamb showed up 2,000 years ago. The Lamb of God showed up. His name is Jesus. 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 So, He dealt with sin. He paid the price. Hebrews 9:11 says, but Christ came as high priest of what? Good things to come. What kind of things? I said, what kind of things? What kind of things? What kind of things are coming? Look at the word. What kind of things? man good things. Good things. So if you're suffering, you shall suffer no more. If you've been sick, you shall be sick no more. If you've been hard pressed, you shall delight with joy in the name of Jesus. He said, I came to set the captive free. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to bind up their wounds. Good things. Good things. Leave the scripture up. Good things. Somebody say good things. With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. You see, the tabernacle that they built in the wilderness was built with hands. God gave them skills, but it was still hands. But Jesus has an eternal tabernacle for us to dwell in. He has a heavenly tabernacle, but also he's got another tabernacle. Let's keep reading. More perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with whose blood? But with his own. Somebody shout his own. Shout his own. His own blood. He entered where? The most holy place. How many times? How many times? Didn't I tell you the blood still stands? He don't have to go year after year. They were celebrating the Passover and they were slaying a lamb every year. Year after year, they had to find a spotless blood. But Jesus came and he dealt with sin once and for all. Once and for all. How many times? How many times? Because it's not the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but it's the blood of Jesus. Now, and what kind of a redemption we got? You see, they had a yearly redemption. Every time they would kill the goat or they kill the lamb, they're good for the next year. They're good for the next year. But the Bible says Jesus obtained. What he did? Where he get it from? He took it back from the devil. He took it back from the enemy. And he said, devil, you thought you would have held my people in darkness, but I showed up here. I am the lamb they were foreshadowing every year after year. I am the spotless. I am the perfect lamb of God. Not only spotless and without blemish, but I'm the perfect. Perfect. Lamb of God. And I'm going to take back what was held captive to man. Man shall not walk in sin anymore, but man will walk in righteousness. Man shall not pine away because of sin anymore, but it shall flourish because promise is alive. Promise is alive and good things are coming. Because it is a what? An eternal redemption. What it was? That's it. Let's stop right here. It was an eternal redemption.